But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Gene of Jesus.
Let's tune in.
That's what
as evangelist
call
Ron Bell takes you further.
You were born
into the word
in a
manger.
I have not found the works perfect before God. Now, this is a church he's talking to, seven churches. And he said, I haven't found your work perfect before God. Saints of God, we don't want to hear that message. We don't want to have that message. We want to straighten up whilst it's time. Verse 3 says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and, you know, and repent. That's something we don't hear over the pulpit today. Repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know, you know, what hour I will come upon you. You're not going to know which hour he's coming. He said, now if you don't do this, if you don't watch, and if you don't pray, and if you don't repent, you ain't going to know when I'm coming upon you. Verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. We have a few people, he's saying, in Sardis, in that church, that have not soiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Don't you want to be worthy to walk with God, to walk with Jesus when he comes? He said, they're going to be worthy, and they'll walk with me in white. And white means perfect, clean, upright. Verse 5, listen at this. I want to take time to read this. He that overcometh, listen at this now. This is verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. So he's giving you an opportunity to overcome that thing that's dying in your life. You know, if you're not happy no more in the Lord, if you're not joyful no more in the Lord, if you're not pleasing no more in the Lord, if you're not full of joy and happiness and gladness when you hear the name of the Lord called, when you read the word of God, well, that stuff is dying in you. And if you're not happy no more, you know, you're in a bad place. He's giving you a chance, though, to get in that good place so that you could be clothed in white and white raiment. And he said, and I will not blot out his name out of the book. See, if you don't stop the dying now that's happening in your life, if you don't stop it now, then your name is going to be blotted out of the book of life. You won't get to wear the white clothes, the white raiment. And your name will be taken out of the book of life. Saints, that's a horrible thing if your name is taken out of the Lamb's book of life. You know? And they said, but I will confess you. I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He said, now if you change and you stop this dying syndrome that you got here, where you're not happy with God no more, you don't love God no more, You've stopped your good works. You don't do the good works of God anymore. You've turned to the world. If you stop all that, then your name won't be blotted out. I'm going to confess you before my Father and before his angels. Saints of God, don't you hear how God and Jesus is trying to rectify the things that's gone wrong in these churches? He's showing us through these seven churches in Revelation how we can change and make a difference in our life so we don't have to die. Verse 6 says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto these churches. I'm telling you the same thing. If you have an ear to hear anything today, I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that church means you, because we are continuations of these churches. Some of everything that these seven churches had or didn't have that's operating or not operating in the churches today. That's why this lesson, that's why I'm talking to you about this, because there's so many parallels in what these churches did and what the churches now are doing. This church It reflects the church today. I just said that. It is filled with Christians who have fallen asleep spiritually. This message in Revelation is the it's the one who find themselves in the sleep of death. It's to the ones who find themselves in a sleep of death. That's what this message in Revelation 3 is all about. You know? And if you find yourself in this sleep of death, then you know, you're just like that church in Sardis. You know? We have to read and take what God is saying to the churches. We have to take it and believe it and receive it and begin to act on it. And we're going to also read Luke 22, verse 45 and verse 46. And this is Jesus talking. And what he says in verse 45, and when he rose from prayer, Jesus, this is talking about Jesus, when he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They was sorry. You know, he was telling them at that time that he had to go away. He was going to be taken up. He was going to have to die on the cross. And so they were sorry. And they were sorrowful, but they went to sleep. And verse 46 says, and he said unto them, why sleepeth ye? Rise and pray. You know? My God. Rise and pray. Lest ye enter into temptation. See, that's what happens to us when we go to sleep spiritually and our prayer life is dead. All kind of temptations will come. All kind of trials will come. All kind of troubles will come. So, saints of God, we're going to have to pay attention to what's going on and correct ourselves. The church of Sardis, it was located in a fertile valley of the Hamath River. The church is known. This is what the church is known for. It was a sleeping church. And they had a form of godliness, but they denied the real power of God. You know, how did they deny it? Through their hypocrisy. The church had a number of faults. You know, even though a few of them, they were faithful. And God said that they would walk in that white robe with them. But most of them, you know, they were spiritually dead. Despite having a reputation. See, they just had a reputation of being spiritually alive. You know, there was no healing. There was no deliverance going on. No Holy Ghost filling the house and in the church. This is holy stuff. This is spiritual stuff that should be going on in the church. But it wasn't going on in the church of Sardis. We can see the signs of a dying church. You know, when church leaders is more concerned with boosting and boasting its own image. They want to boost it up and they want to boast their own image rather than God's. This is a terrible place. But we see it. We see what the churches are doing right now. They're boosting and boasting their own images and what they want to do and how they want to do it. And they don't know where God is in all this. And we don't know. But when a church becomes unusually, this is another thing. When a church becomes unusually concerned with, you know, with brands of their own. You know, their own growth and in numbers of people just for membership sake rather than for souls for the kingdom and programs rather than the spiritual gifts God has put in his church. This is a sign of spiritual illness. The scripture is clear that the church, its public relations role the public relations role of the church. It belongs to Jesus all alone. It belongs to Jesus. It's His. He's the head of this church. You know? He is the one that enlarges the territory. You know? He's the one that does that. He's the one in charge of building the church and adding to it daily. You know? When people are saved according to the Romans 10, 9 and 10, and when they're baptized, that's how Jesus adds to the church. You can't add to it. Jesus is the only one that can add to His church. This church belongs to Him. So, pastors, listen. I want you to know, you can't keep Jesus and His gospel, the full gospel, you can't keep it out of the church. You know? I mean the gospel being fully taught, preached, demonstrated, and practiced from Genesis to Revelation. You can't bar the doors and keep the Holy Ghost out. He is to live in us, work in us, work through us, and He's supposed to work for us. It's His job. So teach the people John 14. I want you to remember that. If you don't remember nothing, if you're a pastor, preacher, a teacher, and you hear this word, I want you to make sure that you teach and preach John the 14th chapter. Make sure you do that. You know? And there's other signs the message from the pulpit, you know, there's other signs. The messages from the pulpit, you know, they're human-centered rather than Bible truth-centered, God-centered, you know. These are the things that we have to make sure that we put back. These are the things that's dying. And that's what he was talking about. These are some of the things that's dying in the church. The message can't be centered on us and about some old world event, hockey and football. No, it can't be on that. It's got to be the message coming out of that pulpit. It can't be human-centered. It's got to be Bible truth-centered, God-centered, and which is the truth. And that's what we're going to have to preach in the pulpit. That's what we're going to have to get as preachers, teachers, and people that's up before others with congregations. And you say you're a pastor, preacher, teacher of the Word of God. Remember, if you don't do it according to God's will and wishes, it's a false gospel. And you're not preaching what God told you to preach. The scriptures in 2 Timothy 4 and 3, this is what it tells us. Why pastors are especially, you know, they're going and doing the wrong things. You know, it's going to tell us. It's meaning that the preachers, you have to preach the whole gospel. Preach. Preach the whole gospel to the church. You know, and you get it into yourselves.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on a tree, died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria.